Choo choo!
Hey now,
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Hey now, everybody! What's up? What's up? What's up? How are you, John Bird?
I've seen better days.
Yes, you have had a bad day all around, and I'm sorry for that.
But that's all right. I'm going to turn it up for the podcast, baby. Woo!
You're here. It's been an exciting day in the news cycle, as we have seen a lot of things. We're kind of like Fannie Willis. I don't know, like I said. I was going to say, we're like Fannie Willis's coochie. We've seen a lot of things. Tony Gump here as well. Tony Gump,
well.
How are you?
Doing all right. Had a good day.
Glad to be back in here with you guys. It's like, it feels like home every time we get here, even though it's a bit of a hassle to get started and it's stressful, but... we all come together. A little bit of news for those that keep up with this podcast. Starting Monday, we are only going to be streaming on YouTube. We are consolidating our streaming. And we may expand that to Twitter if I can figure out how we can live stream on Twitter. We haven't been able to figure that out yet. But YouTube is what we're concentrating on.
I think it's smart.
We encourage everybody to like, subscribe, comment, all that stuff.
And they can see all the previous stuff we've done, all the cool stuff we've done.
We've got a lot of good
content
that we've put on over time. Am I not in the middle? God, look at me.
Andrew, get in the middle.
I'm the one hammering people for not being in the middle, and look at me. I feel like it's only appropriate to start the show this way. We had been watching a lot of Fannie Willis in the courtroom. As a matter of fact, we watched a lot of Nathan Wade in the courtroom.
Yes.
And we didn't get around to Fannie Willis because she took the stand right at the end of the show. And then she abruptly stormed out and she came back and she took the stand. And I think I learned a lot about Fannie Willis while she's on the stand, which she's on the stand now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the fact that, like Letitia James in New York, Fannie Willis is not a very smart person.
No.
She's not a smart person at all. She's very low IQ. And I think this speaks to the fact and speaks to something that a lot of people need to realize is even though the left and the Democrats are evil, sinister, they're not the geniuses they portray themselves to be.
No.
And you realize that when you see that they chose someone like Fannie Willis to take down Donald Trump. She is not, like, if you think about the top 20 prosecutors in the country, she's not a Johnny Cochran. She's not one of these lawyers that people are going to be talking about 20 years from now. She is literally
a dumbass.
A dumbass. A dumb biatch, for lack of a better term. And I'm just amazed. Can we go to a little bit of that? Actually, first, put me some sexy music.
Yeah.
Let's do some sexy music.
Okay.
And then we will, okay. Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now let's pull up Fannie Willis live in Atlanta, Georgia, in a courtroom, and see how her trial's going.
Okay.
Give me, there we, hit me some volume there on YouTube.
Okay.
The mute button.
No. Now, since you have been district attorney, the two gentlemen that worked with Mr. Wade and his firm, they also had contracts with your office. Is that correct?
I probably had two.
I don't know if we've covered this in Willis, but I still don't know what the relevance would be of her testifying to this.
But I've had about 10 people. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me to answer?
Let's
or
figure
no?
this out.
Judge, respectfully, I think based on Mr. Wade's testimony, he had an interest in those contracts.
Sure. And then, but how's that been imputed to Ms. Willis?
I don't know if whether or not she knew she was giving him that benefit. That's what I was trying to explore.
Okay. Well, maybe we can start with that question. And then if she doesn't know about it, then the ins and outs of all the contracts wouldn't be quite as relevant.
The ins and outs.
The ins and outs. And he knows about that.
Yep.
The two gentlemen that were in Mr. Wade's office, did they have what I think has been referred to as a taint contract?
Oh, man. When I first became DA, the office was not properly staffed. And so I'm surprised any lawyer would take it. But I did a contract for like $60 an hour to help us out with first appearance. That lasted.
Well, that's an expensive taint job.
So I can't remember what that. I'm sure we can have records and I can tell you which one, but I just can't remember now. I like their experience. One had been, Bradley had been a probation officer and a defense attorney. Campbell.
Okay, I think that's enough, Fanny. We'll go ahead and cut that. Because we did a lot of that today.
Yeah, we did.
But nonetheless, it was very entertaining. Here's what I drew from Fannie Willis watching her today. She is the type of prosecutor that really pushes, like, she's not a good prosecutor. She's not a good one when it comes to the facts and really getting to the bottom of whatever.
Mm-mm.
She's the type of prosecutor that relies on a jury to connect with her. And that's literally all her career is. Because she's got the vibe of speaking to the jury. And in this case, in Fulton County, a lot of times it's a black jury. She's speaking to a black jury as a black woman. And she uses, these sort of aspects of, you know, just saying, I'm a regular old, you know, coming from the civil rights movement, and my daddy is this and that, and my, you know, she's brought that up multiple times in this, and I already know, not seeing her prosecute anybody in the past outside of Donald Trump, that's the thing she does, is instead of worrying about the facts of the case and pursuing justice, she's just in the business of manipulating the jury to get what she wants.
And now she's caught up in this. Yeah. And it's nothing but facts.
And if she is just this modest, you know, daddy's girl kind of persona that she's portrayed today, it's got to be pretty embarrassing to be in front of the whole country talking about your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't keep your hands to yourself. She's admitted guilt on multiple fronts throughout this this thing, and I think that's going to be exciting.
Would you call her a sugar mama?
I think she would qualify as a sugar mama.
Because I think when Sweathead was talking earlier today, he was it just sounded like, when they were talking about cash and everything, that he wasn't paying for anything.
This is where it gets obvious. So on multiple fronts, whether it was personal or business, mm-hmm. Nathan Wade, the lover boy, mm-hmm. Sweathead, because he was sweating profusely. I don't know, Tony, if you saw this or not, but
yeah,
this dude
was
pouring sweat the whole time. She would reimburse him mostly with cash. What employer, because he's an employee at this point, reimburses employees with cash? Nobody does that.
Mm-mm.
Nobody. And why would you, if you did reimburse somebody with cash, why do you want to do that? You want to do that because it's not traceable. There's no record of it. They ask her where the cash comes from. Her response is, my blood, sweat, and tears. My hard work. They're like, no, no, no. We mean where, physically, did it come from? It didn't come out of your pores. Like, did you get it from work? Did you get it from a previous? Well, I keep a lot of cash. My daddy always told me as a woman, you got to keep a lot of cash in your. And she starts going on about how much cash is in her home, and she's got a lockbox, and so she claims that it's just built over time, that her extra change or whatever she puts in this lockbox, and she could have anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 on hand. And then that's where it was coming from. And everybody's like, but in the same breath, she's talking about how, as a Georgia the DA, the Fulton County DA, her life is under constant threat because of the criminals she prosecutes. So she talked about how she has to have security and she has to move, and sometimes she's scared to go home. But hey, I got $15,000 in cold hard cash sitting in my house. Like, what a buffoon.
All this is just laughable. You know?
It is.
It really is. Tony, do me a favor on the Streamlabs on the bottom corner. Will you just scroll down to the, I'm looking at the audio side of things. Okay. I was just making sure we were going.
Good.
I get antsy, you know. I couldn't see it. So, yeah, there's that. I don't want to get too far into Fannie Willis because she took up a major part of our show today.
It almost seems to me like she's like politician or wanted to be a politician to run for other things because she's just full of crap, you know?
Well, she originally, and I just kind of learned this through them talking, you know, she ran for a judge that I don't think she got before she decided to run for DA. And she didn't run under the premise of getting Donald Trump like Letitia James did.
Right.
But she ran under the guise of, I'm not going to sleep with my coworker, which happened with the DA before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've played them on the show. There's clips of her where she talks about how Fulton County residents need to vote for me because I don't sleep with my coworkers and I don't steal money. And that's exactly what she did. Like you can say I'm not going to do this crime, but then go do other crimes. It's still wrong, but it don't look as bad as saying I'm not going to do this crime, and then you go
and
do that
do
crime.
The exact same thing.
that's bad. That was real bad. What else? What else? We was talking about on the show today. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got a video for us, don't you? Do we need to watch this?
I don't know what it is. You were talking about the Russians, the rumor about the Russians.
The national security
threat. Yeah, the national security threat, where they were talking about the Russians were going to send a bomb, nuclear bomb, to New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually dug up out of the archives. They're probably going to bring this back. This is a video called Duck and Cover.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's really designed for the kids. It's a fun way to help you deal with a nuclear disaster. Just a fun way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, let's check it out.
I'm excited.
It's catchy.
There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do.
Scroll that down again.
And cover. Duck. And cover.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You and you
and you
and you. Duck and cover.
Killed the monkey.
Dang.
Be sure and remember.
I don't remember any of this. This is way before my time.
One of us must remember.
That's Felipe.
I hope not.
This film is all about duck and cover.
Very informational.
Listen, I like this part.
In a corridor. You duck and cover tight against the wall this way. Remember to keep your face and the back of your neck covered tightly. Try to fall away from windows or doors with glass in them.
I guess the rest of the kids just died.
If the glass breaks and flies through the air, it won't cut you. Yeah. You might be eating your lunch when the flash comes. Duck and cover under the table. Then, if the explosion makes anything in the room fall down, it can't fall on you. They always try to remember what to do if the atom bomb explodes right then. It's a bomb. Duck and cover. Here's Tony going to his Cub Scout meeting.
Tony!
Tony knows the bomb can explode time of the year, day or night. He is ready for it. Duck and cover. Attaboy, Tony. That means act fast. Tony knows that it helps to get to any kind of cover.
I know.
Older
this is for you, Tony. Pay attention.
Do.
Duck and cover.
There might not be any grown-ups around when the bomb explodes. Then you're on your own.
Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover.
Duck and cover.
Duck and cover. Duck and cover.
And you remember this how?
Well, they, I don't remember it, but during the Cold War.
Right.
They put this together and put it in all the classrooms. So, I mean, I guess if you, like, duck and cover, it'll save your life. Somehow, I don't think it will.
Hmm.
I remember seeing that video when I, like, in the early 80s, I remember seeing that on TV or something.
It's interesting. I don't remember that. I mean, I remember the aspect of, like, when you were, when our parents were children and they were told to get under their desk and all this kind of stuff. I also remember being in school and our deal, like during a tornado drill, get in the hall and put a book over your head, things like that. But I don't remember watching
the
black and white deals.
You really think that's going to protect you?
No, it's not. I mean, maybe the tornado thing does help.
Yeah,
because most people die from tornadoes because they get hitting their heads with blunt objects, you know, tree falling, a piece of the house collapses or whatever. But I think that, no, I don't think that's going to work. Now, a nuclear bomb, you're not going to be able to just duck and cover.
Duck and cover your ass and kiss it goodbye.
You're going to duck and get covered in radiation.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the national security threat turned out to be what? A scare tactic to get money to Ukraine? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I've been doing a lot of as of late, and we've talked about this, is I've been watching Chris Hansen, which, by the way, I'm still trying to get a hold of this guy in order to get him on the podcast, in the radio show, because there's this new streaming service. It's called True Blue. True Blue, $4.99 a month. It is, I'm just going to be straight up. It's got the Chris Hansen show, but it's got other shows, and the other shows suck. I haven't found a good one yet.
Really? What are they like?
Well,
they
one like? Of them is like Iron Sheriff, and it's just a show that kind of follows sheriffs around, but it doesn't have any like action of them going after criminals. It's just learning about the sheriff. And there's other ones. It's about like cooking at a firehouse, like what they cook, what they eat. It's a bunch of stupid stuff. But essentially, the takedown with Chris Hansen is the remake of How to Catch a Predator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's absolutely fascinating. Trish and I have been watching it for a couple weeks now, and we watch new episodes almost every night. And then that thing came in where they did one here in, not Birmingham, but Blount County.
Right.
They did a few stings there. And even though the show is repetitive, because it's the same thing, you lure in a predator, they walk in, Chris Hansen asks him to have a seat, and then he chats with him. It's fascinating to see what they're willing to say to these decoys. Watch their reaction once they see Chris Hansen, and then listen to their excuses.
The excuses, yeah.
Chris Hansen is making the same pitch to all of these guys, and a lot of these guys are giving similar stories. But when it's almost like when you watch it, you're just like, oh, yeah, I heard that before. You feel like Chris Hansen, and it's been fascinating, and it doesn't relate. I can't relay this on radio, just the audio of it, but I'm like, well, why don't we just play some of it on the podcast? Just to give people a sample.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not getting paid by True Blue, but I think if you want to, you could watch all of these episodes in less than a month, and it's worth $4.99 to sign up and watch. Here's an episode right here. What was the name of this one, Tony?
Not sure.
Glory Hole Glenn or something.
Oh,
Glory Hole Jerry. I want y'all to watch this. This is so good. This is so good.
I mean, this is a predator.
Right. Clearly. 47.
Pretending to be 19, sending people's pictures that aren't his.
Right.
To lure even younger kids.
But it's clear to him that you're 14.
Very clear.
Yeah.
He's really about his glory hole.
I mean, the fact that he's 47, and that takes this to a whole different level.
He says, I'm looking to give oral and can truly deep throat you and swallow.
This is grooming in real time.
Yes.
Guys now ask in the chat, is this a Chris Hansen deal? Decoy says, who's that? So you'd think that'd be enough to scare the guys away, but they still show up. Does anything surprise you anymore in these channels?
No. Makes you kind of squeamish a little bit, but I don't say surprise.
Glory Hole Jerry is on his way. As the Viper team gets prepared.
What a name.
My team and I have to make sure all cameras are in place.
Sounds like a character we would have on the line down. That calls in from time to time. Looks like lives. Glory Hole Jerry on the line.
Is in position and ready to meet Jerry at the door. But also waiting for Jerry is me.
Vehicle's off.
No, Jerry.
Jerry.
Coming.
Your life's about to be over, buddy.
What is it?
How's it going?
Good, what's up?
This is not naked with pizza or something.
My charger real quick.
Oh, you're it's Little Caesars too. Gross.
Sorry.
Oh, he had pizza.
Where are we coming in?
No. My mom's at work still.
She'll be home not till like 7 in the morning.
Right there, please.
Okay.
Have a seat. So what are you up to tonight?
Not much.
What's your plan?
Meeting him.
Meeting who?
Him.
Who is it?
Travis.
And what's your name?
Jerry.
Glory Hole Jerry, as a matter of fact.
Jeez.
What happened? happened.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Don't do this to us. Give it a second.
Oh, no.
Pause it and start it again. Okay. Just hit the... Come on, Chris. See? See? I'm trying to get people to buy your service. You can't do this to us.
He definitely needs to come on the show now.
Yeah, just give it a second. Let it load, and let's analyze Glory Hole Jerry here. All right, so this is a guy who thinks he is meeting a, what do they say? His kid's like 15, 16 years old, and he is getting hot and heavy in this chat. He's talking about some very vulgar things, and he actually, this is what amazes me, is these people actually follow through. Now, here's the way the setup goes. This is how many episodes I've watched. I know exactly how they do it. So they go to different dating, and I can't think of the dating apps that they go to, but they will make a profile, and the decoy will be 18 years old, according to the profile.
Right.
Well, then Glory Hole Jerry or whoever then contacts the profile and is like, hey, what's up? And they talk back, and they start chatting, and then very soon at the beginning, the decoy says, I am 15 years old. And that sometimes the suspect will, or the person on the site will say, well, you're too young, I can't talk. But other ones keep going. They're like, 15, huh? What are you doing on here? And then they'll get into the dirty talk, and they'll confirm again with the suspect, are you sure you're okay with me being 15? Just to really get it in writing that they understand that the decoy is 15 or whatever. And then after all of that, half of them will say, this isn't a Chris Hansen deal, is it? Or the cops are not going to show up, are they? And they will still go through with it. They will still go to the houses. And I'm like, people like Jerry, dude. Come on, cuzzy. Is that one going to play anymore?
If not, we'll just...
Yeah, we'll just screw that episode. Screw you, Jerry.
I know what happened to Jerry. He went to jail.
Yeah. Yeah, so Glory Hole Jerry goes to jail. He then, if I remember this episode correctly, he then starts complaining about his back hurting and starts trying to draw sympathy from Chris Hansen. And needless to say, it didn't work. All right, here's another episode. This one's called, this one's bad. Daddy-daughter date or daddy-daughter Dale or whatever it is.
Oh.
So just the scenario on this one, this is an old man who thinks he's going to meet a 14, 15-year-old girl and that her dad is the one sanctioning this and that the dad is not only offering his daughter to this guy, but then is going to follow the guy by performing these actions on his own daughter.
Oh, man.
And then the dad is going to do the tango with the predator. That's what is being talked about in this episode or this situation. Oh, it's bad. This was real bad. Go ahead.
Lake County, Ohio is the epicenter for Operation Intercept, the multi-agency task force assembled to combat child predators. Even though we're in the Dayton area, alleged predators looking to meet with underage children have no hesitation crossing state lines. This is 70-year-old Donnie from New Palestine, Indiana.
Donnie.
About an hour and a half drive away.
Pulling in the drive now.
But this road trip is about to land Donnie in handcuffs. Donnie has been chatting with who he thinks is the father of a 13-year-old girl.
13.
What he wants to do will make your skin crawl. Captain Terry Abels and I discuss the nature of the creepy and criminal chats.
The next man due to arrive here at the Sting House has a very bizarre and disturbing fantasy.
Yes.
Tell me about it based on the chats.
So we have an older gentleman coming from out of state to meet a 43-year-old dad and his 13-year-old daughter to engage in sex acts with both of them.
With both of them?
Yes.
Have you ever seen this scenario before?
We have not.
So basically, he thinks the dad is essentially going to pimp out his daughter, and then all three are going to have sex.
Correct.
I've seen a lot of things in 19 years of covering predators going after children, but this is a first.
Yeah, and doing this for almost 30 years, it's first for me also.
And it appears this man is a professional, well-to-do, and he's traveling from out of state.
Yes.
Does that add an additional federal charge here because it's interstate?
It could, yes. Yeah, it could add additional charges.
If you guys weren't here engaging in this chat online, this is a guy who'd be looking for a realistic scenario and wanting to victimize a 13-year-old child.
That's correct.
What should happen to a guy like this?
He should absolutely be caught and absolutely
balls chopped off
and jailed. Mm. If that
chop off his weenie!
Pulling in the drive now.
Donnie pulls into the driveway of the Sting House.
I'm gonna go out.
Watch as he heads straight for the door. Milkshake in hand for the child.
So that's the alleged dad. Brought a milkshake with him.
A sheriff's detective posing as the dad meets Donnie outside.
How are you?
I'm Donnie.
Howdy.
Glad to meet you.
Likewise.
And he just seems like somebody's grandpa.
Yes, sure. Come on in.
Thank you.
Hey, babe. Look who brought you a shake.
Got your shot.
Got a shake. Perfect. Come on in, please. Come in.
This is disgusting.
All right.
Can I take the shake for
you? All right.
I'll just sit right here. Please, have a seat.
Oh, that was good.
Was it? How was traffic?
Not bad.
No.
75 bad.
75.
This
yeah.
is a low IQ individual, bad. I can already tell.
And you would never know just running this guy on the street that he's this kind of person.
What's in his mind?
Indiana.
For safety reasons, we've altered the female decoy's voice.
Hey, it's a long drive. What do you think of her?
Beautiful young lady.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're nervous.
Such a young girl. She's so beautiful, isn't she?
Oh, tell me about it. Grown up?
Yeah. Just a little nervous. Not really used to this.
Very nervous. Have you ever done this before? This is our first time.
Yeah.
So you have?
Uh-huh.
With kids of her
age. Fine.
I listen in on Donnie's conversation with the detective and the decoy.
You've done this before?
You'll be fine.
Oh, just give me a second.
Okay. I'm telling you, she's really nervous.
And at times, I cringe at what I'm hearing.
This is something you're wanting to do.
She'll do whatever.
She'll be great.
Yeah, I just do what I'm told.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Daddy's girl, huh?
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful
thing. We want to make sure she's safe.
She is.
How can you not advocate for the death penalty with somebody like this?
I know.
I mean, that's what makes her feel better. Like, this is...
Yeah, I mean, I've been with...
Sometimes I just need to be, like, talked through it, you know?
Well, yeah. We're going to be very slow, very easy.
Yeah.
We're going to catch a lot. Play a lot.
I know she was concerned. You said you're safe, like she don't get pregnant.
Oh,
at 13,
no.
Can you imagine
no.
what it did to her?
Oh, good Lord,
pregnant?
No. No, I've had a vasectomy forever.
Okay.
I had two kids, so I'm...
I mean, anybody this young, though, to... I mean,
this anybody is, this young?
Yeah.
I have been with another 13-year-old.
Okay. Well, how'd that go? Was that okay?
Something tells me he wasn't 13 at the time.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little bit better.
I'll tell you a little bit about me.
Man.
I love younger women. I absolutely adore them. You've done a great job with her.
Oh.
I can tell.
Maybe he's trying to be a sponsor for Subway.
Is he? Daughter of Fry.
What do you mean? Like, just
sexually.
Yeah. You mean with the...
Mm-hmm.
With Dad helping her through this stuff?
Absolutely.
You think that's...
I think that's very important.
That dad
helps
her sexually.
I think that parents should be more involved in their kids' sexual activities, personally.
What?
I think it's a shame that they don't.
Yeah, it was tough, but we worked through it.
Well,
those cops are chomping at the bit. They're like, let us go in there.
Sit down, have your shake.
This is the worst.
You want to go put it inside?
Yeah, I'll be right back. Okay.
Yeah. You ready to get this started?
If you want.
Yeah.
Or now are you joining us?
Sheriff's office.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Get up.
Get up.
That's what
Since
I thought.
Since Donnie said he knew what this was, it should be no surprise then that he's put in cuffs and read his rights. After interviewing with the detectives, I get the chance to speak with Donnie. Settle in. As you're about to hear his entire sex life story.
Hey, Donnie.
Oh, God.
How old are you?
70.
70?
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me why a 70-year-old man is attracted to having sex with a 13-year-old girl.
I have been, well, I'll go back.
Sure.
The ways. My last wife and I got a divorce mm-hmm. after 20 years. Basically, it was a sexless marriage.
A sexless marriage.
She was all into her job.
Mm-hmm.
When she found out our daughter was had disabilities, she couldn't handle it. She threw herself into her work.
And you had a sexless marriage. But I understand the frustration there, all right? I get that. But
what
how
an
does
excuse.
That translate into you at being 70 years old wanting to have sex with a 13-year-old girl? Where does that come from?
I wish I knew. I don't know that.
But I continue to try to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
13 is a child. 13 cannot give consent.
I understand.
Yet you're here at 70 years old after a sexually charged conversation, a bizarre scenario in which you want to watch
all right, pause
the
that.
Father have sex. Oh.
Let's just assess where we're at here. So this is daddy-daughter Donnie, okay?
Yes.
I don't... This may have been... Well, it's hard for me to say because so many of them have been so disgusting, but this may have been one of the worst ones, especially when he starts getting on with his explanations.
Mm-hmm.
These people are... They're wired incorrectly.
Yes.
Because even no matter how hard up you are and how bad you need to get it on,
mm-hmm.
there is something mentally wrong with you if you are willing to go that route. And not just Donnie's situation, but Glory Hole Glenn or mm-hmm. Glory Hole Jerry or whoever. Like, I don't know. I'm big on second chances,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that these guys can be fixed through rehabilitation or whatever. And especially if you're 70 years old, like
yeah, I think the ratio probably of the failure ratio versus the success ratio, I'm sure there's a big difference. I'm sure the overwhelming majority go back to it when they get out.
You know they do.
Now, see, I got to say, that guy in particular is a long way from rehabilitation.
Yeah, so yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's no way down the road.
One of the common denominators with these guys once Chris Hansen comes out is they've got an excuse. You know, it'll start off with, I wasn't going to do anything. It is, I didn't believe that they were 15. I thought they were 18, so I was coming to make sure. And if I would have seen them, it would be obvious that they were underage and I would have left. Some of them are, I'm just here to talk her out of having sex with other people, random people on the internet. Or when they're caught dead to rights, like Donnie here, they will give excuses about why they were going to do the sex
mm-hmm.
in a sexless marriage or whatever. And it's like, dude, you like there's nothing. I would say if I were to be forced, I wouldn't want to give these guys any advice. I want them to have the rope to hang themselves. But the smart thing to do, if you're the perp here, is just tell Chris Hansen you're not going to talk to him. And out of all the episodes I saw, there was only one guy that stuck to his guns and wouldn't talk to Chris Hansen. The rest of them, chirp, 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 chirp. And it's mainly because they think that if they talk to Chris Hansen, they might be able to just get embarrassed on the TV show and leave. But some of them don't realize that, hey, you're only leaving with the police. Sometimes they don't bring the police out until Chris Hansen's done talking to them.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, people like Jerry or Don, you know, whatever his name is,
Glory Hole Jerry.
Glory Hole Jerry. He was the one before, wasn't he? This was daddy daughter Don.
Yeah, this is daddy daughter Donnie.
Yeah. I mean, someone like that, I don't know. I mean, just the death penalty to me, because, you know, they've tried to chemically castrate people before.
Yeah.
But that desire is still there, so they'll act out in other ways.
That is true. Pull us up on main cam there, Tony. Okay, we'll go back to that in a minute. Right. You're right. I mean, it, in the sense of, you know, this guy, I look at the younger ones. So there's plenty of guys in this series that are 35 or younger. Mm-hmm. Or we'll say 40 or younger, or 50 or younger. They come in, and once they realize it's a sting, they, you can see their brains work into, oh my God, my life is over.
Right.
It's not just about going to jail in that moment. It's about, this is going to be on TV. It's about, I'm now a registered sex offender. I'm not going to be able to get a job, or, you know, my neighbors are going to know, whatever. Like, you can watch that. And for these younger ones, I think, man, you have just railroaded your entire life because of one decision,
mm-hmm.
which many people do. Not, and it doesn't even have to be this heinous. You know, there's plenty of people out there, maybe including ourselves, that have made one decision that has altered the course of our life.
But I really feel like the chances of this is my first time ever is pretty low. I
don't think they all say, oh, I've never done anything like this before. Every single one of them.
Yeah, because there's no cold feet. They're walking right in.
Dude, these people, man. These people. All right.
I mean, is it going to be fine with the Democrats, with the left?
Well, we're moving into this. And who said, was it Rogan that was talking about it? Talking about how we're moving. He was reflecting on his time in California, moving into this realm of accepting minor attracted people, MAPs, as they call them. And he's not that far off. I mean, if you had to bet money on whether or not in the next 10 years Democrats would make a push for minor attracted people to be just a normal group of to add them into the LGBT crew, if you had to put money on whether or not the left would do that in the next 10 years, you would put your money on yes,
absolutely.
They will.
Absolutely.
And there's been attempts, not by the broad left, but by smaller groups, to add them and just say that's just who they love. It's just like transgender people, that's who they are on the inside. Just like gay people, that's just who they love.
I've noticed more and more lately they've been kind of, I don't want to say make it acceptable, but putting the idea out there, like the pre-thoughts.
Mm-hmm. They want to ease it in. Kind of like Donnie, he just wanted to ease it in.
Yep.
People are sick,
but
man.
I mean, it's pretty much over for him. I think he just went ahead and, you know, spilled his guts, because you just think how long has he been getting away with this? Decade.
He's that old, and just the look on his face and how he was so into what he was doing,
right?
Like, you know,
he's like, oh, she's a daddy daughter, you're, I mean, such
was,
pretty, I like young
focused
women,
focused like Jordan on the playoffs or something, you know.
I like them young, they're so beautiful,
drinking milkshake now.
Yeah, let's go back to this one. Yeah, that's what it reminds me of, is the grandpa off of Family Guy. What was his name? Not, is it Family Guy? Yes, Family Guy. Herbert the Pervert.
Like yes.
Yes. No, like, do that impression like you're talking to Chris Hansen. Like, I'll be Chris Hansen. I'll go, hey, Herbert, I'm going to need you to have a seat.
All right. I'll have a seat here.
Have you ever done this before, Herbert?
This is my first time. I've thought about it quite often. I will admit that. But I've always turned away, so... actually, my son and daughter are being held captive, and I was told I needed to come.
Herbert.
Yes?
Your text says you want to lick our decoy's butthole.
No, I didn't mean... no, kick.
Okay,
because I'm very angry with him on a kick's butthole.
All right, let's keep rolling. All right, here we go.
Sex with the daughter, then you have sex with the father.
I've never said anything.
That was in the chat,
Donnie.
Ooh. Wait, you did back it up like 15 seconds. Okay, so he's approaching him about what he said he wanted to do in the chat.
Yeah.
And I want you to watch Donnie's reaction.
Conversation, a bizarre scenario in which you want to watch the father have sex with the daughter, you have sex with the daughter, then you have sex with the father.
I've never said anything.
That was in the chat, Donnie.
Ooh, have sex, gay sex? Ooh, that's gross. I'd never do that.
I would never say that.
I might be a pedophile, but I'm not gay. Oh, Donnie.
He's a man.
All right, let's go.
Agree to a father thing.
Well, that's what it said in the chat.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
So you never said you were going to have sex with the dad at some point after you had sex with the daughter, then watch the daughter.
Oh, come on. Come on! Well,
interesting.
I might be.
I think they only let you watch have a couple minutes or something.
I might want to have sex with a 15-year-old, but I'm not gay. What do you think? I'm gay?
Man.
Oh, Donnie. You know what we should do? I think we've got one more. I think we'll do, just since it keeps cutting us off, we'll do one more of these. But you know what we should do? Like, for real?
What?
We should look up, since, you know, our central location is Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Let's pick a town around Birmingham, Alabama, like, Fultondale?
Okay.
Let's say Fultondale, Alabama, and see how many sex offenders are in Fultondale, Alabama. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the area, Fultondale is just north of Birmingham City.
Right.
And it's a kind of a normal community. I mean, there's nothing crazy about Fultondale. It's a growing city, you know. A lot of people live there.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, in a town that size, like, how many sex offenders do you have living there? Is that what this is?
The ratio of all residents to sex offenders in Fultondale is 681 to 1. There are 13 registered sex offenders living in Fultondale as of February 15th.
Wow, that's pretty up. Oh, that's February 15th. That's today.
Yeah.
What happens when you click on the markers?
Let's find out.
Does it give us details?
Yeah, it does. I don't want to. Well,
I mean, they're sex offenders. It's public information.
So you got different people here, obviously, and it gives a little bit of information.
Interesting.
Man.
All dudes, I see. Yeah. Old Baxter.
Wonder how many in Birmingham.
Larry.
Proper.
Yeah, just do Birmingham, Alabama, and see how many pops up. This is stuff we all need to know, by the way.
Absolutely.
We're helping out.
Let's see.
I bet Birmingham's packed with them.
Whoops. If I can spell properly.
And if y'all listen, for those of you that watch this, probably wouldn't hurt you to look up your own area. And to do that, kind of make a habit of it. Do it from time to time, mm-hmm. You know?
All right.
Good Lord. Look at.
We got a little splash.
All right. So what's the difference in the.
All right. Here we go. There are 663 registered sex offenders in Birmingham as of today. The ratio is 321 to 1, so about half.
Wow.
Or
wait.
Double, I mean. You know what I mean.
What do you mean half?
It was 631 to 1 in Fultondale,
mm-hmm.
And this is 321 to 1. So you got about a double shot chance of being next to a sex offender.
So
or being
every
one yourself, for that matter.
321 residents, if you just picked random people, you would likely get at least one sex offender.
Right.
So, zoom in on the Birmingham City and see. Oh, they see the colored ones show you that there are multiple living in that small area. So like where it says 3 or 7 or 2, just zoom in. Or where it says 17, zoom into that.
Okay.
See how close it'll let you get. Oh, well, what does that mean? It's just got one name. Back it up. Let's see.
Maybe that's how many times. I don't know.
Has he been registered 17 times?
Oh, my God.
Click the blue link on that tab.
Oh, on this one?
Yeah. I wonder what this does.
I need to verify that I'm.
Yes, we're human.
Okay.
Oh, does this just give his.
I don't know, but I hope I'm not going. So, sheriffsalerts.com. Okay. All right. Oh, it actually gives their stuff.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Again, y'all maybe, again, make it a habit. You don't have to do it every day, every week, every month. Just every now and then look around, because I've recently done it for my neighborhood, mm-hmm. and there were, I don't know, four or five within my vicinity, and there was one that was about, you know, half a mile from where I live, and you can go and see the details of what it is. Like, there are people that have had to register as sex offenders mm-hmm. that just got caught peeing in public, which is something we've all done. And that, in my opinion, is an awful situation. We should really consider.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. So 100% real. I think in those cases, a ticket, a fine, whatever. But if somebody was drunk and they were peeing on a building in an alley, like, come on, man. You can't ruin somebody's life for that.
Yeah, I thought that was public urination. It used to be a law.
Yeah.
But I guess now, if
does
grab
it,
you
does it depend
offender.
Where it happens at, where they do it? It's like near a school or something they peed or something?
I don't know. I've just heard those stories in the past. Maybe you can Google that and just say, is it what, how you phrase this? What is the charge for peeing in public, Alabama? We'll do that.
Indecent
what is
exposure.
The penalty for peeing? Okay. Click that one down there. No, it's yeah. And pull us up on the... Oh, that's Birmingham, England.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, no, we put Alabama. Never mind. I don't know why it's doing English money. There you go. But that's what it would be, public indecency. He exposes his genitals in a public place. Why does it say he? Why does it got to be he? And is reckless about whether another may be present who will be offended or alarmed by this act. He does any lewd act in a public place where he knows he's likely to be seen. Okay, so maybe it's a matter of not only if you're seen by somebody else, but if you know you're being seen and you do it anyway.
I could see if you're pressing pickle in front of a bunch of kids, how that would be a problem.
Yeah, or you're like at a restaurant and you're like rubbing it up against the glass outside.
That's pressing pickle.
Yeah, pickle. I would think that would be not acceptable.
Let's go to this last episode of Takedown. I'm trying to remember who this one is. Let's just play the first part of it and see what happens.
And starts off pretty casual. But it quickly turns salacious. Ryan sends very graphic photos, which we can't share with you. The decoy clearly states he's younger, that he's only 15. But that's not dissuading Ryan, because he says he's on his way. Everyone gets into position to await Ryan's arrival. The decoy, who we've lured to protect his identity, lets Ryan in.
Come on. Good.
How are you?
Good. You just go ahead and sit down.
He's taking his shoes off.
I had some pizza earlier. I might have a little left. Awesome.
Good.
Did you bring anything?
That's some lube. That's not all.
You excited?
Yeah.
Can't wait. Do you?
It did it.
Come on, cuz.
Man, somebody.
I don't know what it is. I've never watched this on a computer. I've only watched it on the TV, so it just may be some sort of deal.
A weird fact. There was no hair on that man's body at all.
Oh, yeah, he's a shaver. He was this dude was extra feminine, obviously gay. He's going for a 15-year-old boy, and he... Young, I think he was like 26,
mm-hmm.
And you can just watch his life flash before his eyes. And it didn't even click. After they put him in handcuffs, he goes, am I going to jail? They're like, yeah, buddy, you're going to jail. Man. And he works, he's got like a college education, a good job. He's talking about, I'm going to lose my job, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, we've all in our life made bad decisions. But that is a decision that I just couldn't imagine in our cluster of bad decisions that we've each made throughout our life.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one's, I've done some stupid stuff. That just, I don't see ever being in a scenario where that happens or how any human being could.
Well, but if you're in the mind of a predator, I mean, you can't understand.
That's why I think these guys are just wired differently.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think there's anything in their head like, because they say you can't make some want to or something? Because I just don't get it.
Yeah, compulsion.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Like you can't have sex with anybody under 18 and all of a sudden they want to? Or
I think, well, and I'm basing this off what these people say when they're explaining it, is that they're not able to get with somebody of age. Like there's a couple guys on here that will talk about how they're going on these apps. They're relying on these apps to meet people, and they're getting ghosted over and over and over. This may be just their excuse, but they say that it ultimately leads them to just as soon as they find somebody that will talk to them and seems like they'll go through with it, they find out they're 15 and they're like, well, screw it. Nobody else will do it. One guy I watched last night, he had been bamboozled out of thousands of dollars from his last go-around with a person on here or on that app, and he said he was just lonely or whatever. You know, I don't know, and this could all be BS that they're throwing out there, but these are the excuses they give. Like that guy in particular, he met somebody on there, and then they got to know each other, and then she was going to fly out, and so he sent her a bunch of money to fly. Well, she made it halfway to Chicago, I guess a layover, and then she tells him that she got robbed, and then she needs more money, and it turned into this whole thing. I'm like, oh, bro, you got bamboozled. And he tried to use that as part of an excuse why he's so lonely and, you know, need to blow off some steam.
Man, when you're caught, you're caught.
Yeah, they need to have harsh penalties for these people because it just shouldn't be allowed.
It can't be fixed. I just don't think, again, I'm in the business of rehabilitation and second chances. I just don't know. I don't know that you can fix those people. Maybe if they're in their 20s, you can turn them around. But after that 50 mark, and older people are stuck in their ways.
Right.
Right. Especially an older generation. And this is not at my mom or my dad. But, you know, my dad is the type of guy that is stuck in his ways. I can't convince him to move to streaming. Like, he would have so many more options on TV, but he sticks to cable. But it's because he's from a different generation and he sticks to what he knows. He thinks if he goes to streaming, it's going to be too complicated or it's going to be too expensive, when in reality, to have cable in a small town, it costs you an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
But it's just the way he wants to do it. And it's what makes him happy, is to do the things. Like, we have our OCD thing going on.
Right.
But I think that also applies to these predators. Once they get to a certain age, you can't fix them.
Now, here's something I'm afraid of. Over there in California, they loosen the laws for theft so people could steal and get away with it. What if they're kind of preparing everybody to where if you're caught predator, like in California, where, oh, it's not that bad, she was only 15, and they kind of let them go right away maybe? I don't know.
I could see that. I could see that.
Like starting it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look at the other crimes where they're just turning around and letting them go.
All right, so I'm about to do this story, and I'll explain in a second. Tony, when we do this story, I want to keep us on main cam, but I want you, just when I tell you, just show a picture of the guy's face, and then just come back to us. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I got you.
This is a story that I almost had brought up on the Wheel of Segments.
Yeah.
But as I started reading the headline, I got halfway through it, and I realized that this is probably not something we should do. I've done a lot of stories on the show that ended up, you know, catching me some heat on the backside. You know, and it's just part of it. It happens. Maybe I'm not the best judge, but I do these, what happens is I do these stories, I throw them in a filing cabinet, And then they end up, you know, on the Wheel of Segments, and I don't really, whatever. It happens that way. I started reading this story. I decided not to do it. I said, we'll bring it up on the podcast.
Right.
So I want to read you the headline. This is about a guy we had talked about before, but there's an update with him. The headline says, Penn State professor charged with animal cruelty after being caught having sex with his pet dog faces additional charges after a video emerges of him sticking a tree branch and lollipop in his butt in public setting. That's pretty bad. Let me give you the details. In a shocking development, an acclaimed Penn State professor, his name is Themis, by the way. Old Themis. Themis, who was previously charged with animal cruelty after being caught engaging in bestiality with his pet dog, is now facing additional charges following revelation of further disturbing acts captured on videos. The case has now escalated with the emergence of new footage that allegedly shows Themis inserting a tree branch and a lollipop into his anus in a public park.
What? I mean,
did I make a good call not bringing this up on the Wheel segments?
Yes. I mean, which end of the lollipop? I mean,
I think you know.
Yeah, but did he do them together, or it was like one and the other?
Well, let's give some details here. Okay. According to reports, authorities discovered 55 videos on Themis's electronic devices that depict acts of indecency. These are devices that were seized under a search warrant tied to the initial charges of Pork and his dog. The affidavit details various lewd behaviors exhibited by Themis, including public masturbation on a picnic table and in a lake at a park, as well as climbing a tree while naked and engaging in obscene acts with objects like a Tootsie Pop and a control handle of a DCNR John Deere crawler.
What the hell?
But Google this. DCN. So DCNR John Deere crawler. And just pull up images and let's see what we got. Of course, he's all the headlines here.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
So
he said the control handle. Add control handle to it. Let's see what the control handle looks like.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Okay. So he goes on. The news outlet added that Themis also Themis also deposited fecal matter on leased campgrounds and in a service area adjacent to DCNR machinery, as well as applied bodily fluids to a glass table at a leased campsite.
That's his idea of a vacation, going camping.
Mm.
God.
I can't get over the fact, what is sexy about a dog?
Yeah,
they go poop and they eat. There's nothing sexy about a dog.
What's sexy about a limb?
What's sexy about a John Deere control handle?
Yeah,
all of this is just backwards.
Man, does he still have his job?
I doubt it.
That John Deere handle had me like, oh my god,
oh my,
Famous, oh Heck Famous.
I wonder how he drives it.
You know how he drives it.
Probably likes it in fourth gear.
Yes, he does. Fourth gear and in the rear. Let's go, baby.
Oh man.
All right, we're gonna get out of here. Tony Gump, final words.
Teach your kids something useful and don't buy them so much stuff.
Look at that, John Bird.
Be good to your mother and don't put stuff up your butt.
Great advice, John Bird.
Thank you.
Until next time, see you, cuz.